Hello, this is Ian Berg with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, February 12th, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article, "Longtime Economic Development Leader Dies," by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. It was a somber end to the Danville City Council's Public Works Committee Tuesday night at City Hall, where just upstairs Vermilion Advantage has its offices. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. learned that Vermilion Advantage President and CEO Vicky Hogan died Tuesday night after a long battle with cancer. Over the last few decades, and whether it was a big economic development project like the casino or Carl at the Riverfront, or a smaller project like a small business grand opening, it was common to hear praise for Hogan. The community has lost a local cheerleader and tireless economic development representative. Vicky Hogan was an amazing woman, and she did more for Danville and Vermilion County than anyone will likely realize, Williams said tearfully. I couldn't have made it through my first year as acting mayor without her help and support, he said. He added that all the work she did is going to help the next generations, and Danville and the county thrive into the future. Williams said not many people can say that. Alderman had a moment of silence in her memory. In a congressional record last year, Congressman John Shimkus, Republican from Illinois, entered a statement into the permanent congressional record recognizing Hogan, who took over leadership of Vermilion Advantage 37 years ago. Vermilion Advantage is the lead economic development office for Vermilion County, Illinois. Vicky saw early on that if the community was to survive and prosper, the political business, education, and community leaders would need to work together, Shimkus said. More than simply an advocate for the community, Vicky had a comprehensive vision focused on creating the next generation of community leaders and a skilled and educated workforce, diversifying the economic base of the county, and developing a cooperative environment between labor and management, to name just a few of her initiatives. Next, we'll go to the article, "Project Immerses Students in Black History," by Carol Rome, Tilton. Southwest Elementary School's fourth graders will spend the next few weeks learning about the people who were instrumental in the civil rights movement of the 1960s as part of a month-long Black History project. On Tuesday, the fourth graders at the school on Catlin-Tilton Road created a menu-style folder containing handwritten thoughts, observations, and points of view about the lunch counter sit-ins, as student teacher Maria Parker read them the book Freedom on the Menu. The activity allowed the youngsters to learn what four young African-American students experienced 60 years ago when they were denied service at a segregated Woolworth's lunch counter in February 1960 in Greensboro, North Carolina, and staged a sit-in. That sit-in fueled a movement with more sit-ins and civil rights protests in college towns across the South. The effort eventually led to the desegregation of Woolworth's lunch counters in July of 1960. Parker, who is completing her student teaching requirements through Eastern Illinois University, teaches at Southwest on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. She decided to develop a different activity each day to engage students in Black history. I came up with them on my own, Parker said of the activities, which are divided into weekly themes: Father of Black History and Women, Road to Freedom, Dreamers, and Influential People. Everyone knows about Martin Luther King and his dream, but there were others who had a dream too, she said. I'm trying to give them something different to think about than Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. I wanted to give them a different perspective, she said. We're also learning how to overcome obstacles. So far, students have learned about Carter G. Woodson, who established Black History Month, which initially was only a week long in 1926. civil rights activist Rudy Bridges, who became the first African-American child to integrate an elementary school in the South, and the Little Rock Nine, who were a group of black students that enrolled in September 1957 at the formerly all-white Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas. The fourth graders also learned about the Green Book that was written by a mailman and provided blacks with listings of hotels and restaurants, quote, where they could stay, where they could eat, and where they would be welcome, Parker said. No one wants to feel not welcomed, she told the students, during a recap of what they had already learned from the prior week. Next week, the youngsters will learn about Madam C.J. Walker, who became a millionaire after inventing a hair product that was made in Indianapolis, author Langston Hughes, and Alvin Ailey, who danced on Broadway. During the last week of the month, the students will learn about the Tuskegee Airmen and the African-American female mathematicians who worked at NASA and calculated rocket trajectories that assisted in winning the space race in the 1960s. Southwest's projects will wrap up with a Juneteenth celebration on February 27th. Continuing on the road to freedom this week, Parker engaged the fourth graders in conversation Tuesday after showing them a historical news clip about the lunch counter sit-ins and while reading the book aloud about it. In explaining the effectiveness of the Greensboro sit-ins, this shows you could make a stand by sitting down. Parker then gave an example of segregation. If we wanted to go to the movies together, I would have to walk through the back door. We wouldn't be able to walk through the same door. I would have to sit in the balcony, and you would sit below, so we wouldn't be able to sit together, she said. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't like that. Fourth grader Hannah Porter blurted out, "That's sad." Another student gave a sympathetic, "Aw." The stories and historical information dispensed by Parker gave the youngsters a better understanding of the impact of the civil rights movement. When there were changes, people were surprised, Hannah said, of desegregation. It's sad that there was segregation, and people had to go to different schools and had different rights, the astute fourth grader said. The Jim Crow laws were wrong. Classmate Gabby Brown, who said her favorite black historical figure was Ruby Bridges, agreed with Hannah. It was sad, but when they changed the rules, it was better. Now we'll go to the article. Novel Idea. Vending Machine Encourages Students to Read, by Carol Rome. Tilton. Imagine a vending machine that doesn't dispense candy or snacks, but rather children's books. Southwest Elementary School unveiled its very own Inchi's Bookworm vending machine last week to rave reviews from students. Principal Lindsay Prunkard said she saw the unique vending machine online and knew her students would love to receive a book as a reward for good behavior that would, in turn, also inspire them to read more. I saw it on a principal's blog, she said. I thought it would be a neat way to reward students rather than giving them trinkets or food. Prunkard contacted Bob Richard, executive director of the Danville Public School Foundation, about whether the machine was something the foundation would fund. The foundation's donors provided the $5,773 needed to purchase the book machine, plus cover the initial supply of books. Future books will be purchased with Title I funds through Danville District 118. We're the first school in Danville to have one, and we're thankful to the Danville Public School Foundation for funding it, Prunkard said. Using a golden token, children may select from 18 different book titles that might interest them. Inchi's Bookworm vending machine can hold 10 to 15 books of each title, so more than one child can select and read the same book. The books are appropriate for all grade levels, she said. There are picture books and chapter books. Prunkard said students must first earn the golden token that's used in the machine. Kindergartners through fourth graders sit down with their teacher and set a reading goal, she explained. They have to meet the reading goal that they've figured out with their teacher, and when they reach their goal, they will get a token for the machine. Not only does the book dispensing machine support Southwest's existing reading program, but it also instills excitement in the students about book ownership, reading, and academic success. Three classes have already sent students to select books from the machine, Frunkard said. Some teachers have told me that so many more students are achieving their reading goal now because they want to select a book from the machine. I think they're really excited about it and motivated by it, she said. Prunkard said students do not always have access to grade-appropriate literature at home. But now with the books they select from the vending machine, they can build their own home library. They take the book home. It's theirs, she said. Third grader Amira Johnson used her golden token to purchase a book titled Slacker that had a lazy beaver eating junk food on its cover. When Prunkard asked Amira what she thought the book was about, the youngster replied, "It's about an animal that sits around." Amira said she likes reading books. "I had to read books and stuff in class, and I read 8 books last month," she said. Her reading goal was increased to 10 books this month. Third grader Jalen Houston chose Toby's Story as her book from the vending machine. "It seemed like a good book, and I like animals," she said. Third grader Jordan Winchester said the book vending machine has tempted him to try reading more difficult books. He chose a higher-level football book titled The Big Game. "Some of the books are hard, but I'm going to read the whole thing," he said. We'll now go to the death notices. Theodore L. Russell, 98, of Frankfort, Indiana, passed away on February 8, 2020. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday, February 11th, until the time of service at 11 a.m. Eastern at the Amanda Reed Chapel at Wesley Manor. Burial will be at 10 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday, February 12th at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin. Memorial contributions may be made to the charity of your choice. Jerry Jane Frey, 82, of Vetersburg, passed away on Sunday, February 9th. Funeral service will be 11 a.m. Eastern on Friday, February 14th at Dickerson Funeral Home in Vetersburg. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, February 13th at the funeral home. Service beginning at 8 p.m. Burial will be at Osborne Prairie Cemetery in Vetersburg. Memorial contributions may be given to Hillsborough Church of the Nazarene or American Kidney Foundation. Billy Dean Richardson Jr., 58, of Bismarck, Illinois, passed away on February 5th. A Celebration of Life memorial service will be at 1 p.m. Friday, February 14th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be at a later date. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, February 13th at the funeral home. Memorials may be made in Bill's memory to the charity of the donor's choice. David E. Downing, 74, of Danville, passed away on Friday, February 7th. A Celebration of Life service will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, February 14th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Danville National Cemetery at a later date. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, February 14th at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made in David's name to Red Mask Players Community Theater Group in Danville. Harlan Howard Thornsborough, 91, formerly of Alvin, passed away on Saturday, February 8th. A graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 14th at Bethel Cemetery in Alvin. Memorials may be made to the Alvin Christian Church. Dora B. Reed Jameson, 86, of Oakwood, passed away on February 11th. A celebration of Dora's life will take place at 10 a.m. on Saturday, February 15th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Entombment will take place at Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be held on Friday, February 14th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Virginia Lee Gum, 97, of Danville, formerly of Georgetown, passed away on February 7th. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, February 12th, at Stuart and Carol Funeral Home in Paris. Burial will be in Edgar Cemetery. Visitation from 1 to 2 p.m. on Wednesday at the funeral home. Donations may be made in Virginia's name to the Ileana Genealogical and Historical Society in Danville, or the charity of the donor's choice. Robert Ted Witherspoon, of Danville, passed away on February 9th, at the age of 97. Memorial services will be on Thursday, February 13th, at First Church of the Nazarene in Danville. Visitation from 4 to 6 p.m., followed by services from 6 to 7 p.m. Nellie Maureen Hardy, 84, of Covington, Indiana, passed away on February 8th. A celebration of Natalie's life will be at 11 a.m. Eastern on Thursday, February 13th, at First Church of Christ in Covington. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, February 12th, at First Church of Christ, and also 1 hour prior to the service on Thursday. She will be laid to rest at Mount Hope Cemetery. James A. Smith, 68, died February 7th, 2020. A celebration of life will be held at his home in Seville, Florida, on Saturday, February 22nd. His Illinois family and friends will hold a local celebration of life at a later date. William Boswell, 63, of Danville, died on Monday, February 10th. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time. Robert Cross, 73, of Danville, died on Wednesday, February 5th. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. on Saturday at New Life Church of Faith in Danville. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will begin at 10 a.m. on Saturday at the church. Carol Teagarden Decker, 88, of Champaign, formerly of Hoopston, passed away on Monday, February 3rd. A visitation will be held from noon to 1 p.m. on Saturday, February 15th, at Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston. The funeral service will follow the visitation and will begin at 1 p.m. on Saturday, February 5th, at the funeral home. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Kathy E. Gasper, 69, of Tilton, passed away on February 11th. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time. Carl Hoskins Jr., 70, of Nevada, formerly of the Ridge Farm area, passed away on January 19th, 2020. Graveside funeral services will be held at noon on Saturday, February 15th, at Woodlawn Cemetery in Indianola. Burial will follow at the cemetery. Memorials may be made to St. Jude Children's Hospital or to the Shriners Children's Hospital. Cheryl Lynn Pickett, 67, of Danville, died on Sunday, February 9th. A memorial service will be at 4 p.m. Thursday at the Chrisman Church of the Nazarene in Chrisman. And now for a roundup of what's going on in local sports, we'll head over to the article, Toppers Get Knocked Out, from Marvin Holman, St. Joseph. For the first time since 2017, the Schlarman girls basketball team will not be going to a state tournament final. The Hilltoppers lost 57-49 on Tuesday in the IHSA Class 2A St. Joseph Ogden Regional to Villa Grove Heritage. It was Schlarman's first loss in postseason action since a 1917 Class 1A sectional semifinal loss to Hayworth. Schlarman coach O.J. Harrison said that the team was out from the start. They were just not focused on the game, on both offense and defense, Harrison said. We had our best player, Capria Brown, on the bench, with three fouls in the first half. So Heritage did not beat us, we beat ourselves. Brown ended up with 17 points to lead the Hilltoppers, while Tana Cedar had 13 points. McKaylee Allen had 9, and Emma Bogdan added 8. While the Hilltoppers end the season without a title for the first time in years, Harrison did see a lot of positives after a slow start. There were some downs to the start of the season, but we really started to get going in January, Harrison said. We played very well, but we hit a wall today. Next year, Brown and Boggin will be gone, and Harrison will be ready to build around younger players. We are losing a big-time player that was just shy of 2,000 points, Harrison said of Brown. We had 5 freshmen play, and 2 had major minutes, so we are going to go to the gym in the off-season and work hard. VGH will take on St. Joseph Ogden for the regional title on Thursday. In other games, Salt Fork 48, Fisher 38, Gilman. Kaylee Davis had 18 points as the Storm cruised to a win in a regional semifinal over the Bunnies. Carson Todd had 17 points for Salt Fork, while Mackenzie Russell added 10 points. The Storm will take on Colfax Ridgeview in the final on Thursday. In Prep Boys Basketball, Oakwood 69, Chrisman 64. Fithian. Cade Anderson scored 8 points in overtime to help get the Comets get past the Cardinals. Josh Young had 22 points to lead Oakwood, while Brevin Wells had 15. Anderson had 10, Elijah Harden had 7, and Jackson Powell and Jaden Cox each had 6. Lane Smith had 34 to lead Chrisman, while Porter Hale had 10, and Nick Eddy and Laundry Lorenzen each had 9. In Armstrong, Schlarman 74 and AP 51. Jason Craig had 24 points as the Hilltoppers beat the Trojans. Cole Carahan had 23 points for Schlarman Academy, while Rance Bryant had 8 and Josh Wright added 7 points. Dylan Knight had 14 for Armstrong Potomac, while Jace Townsend had 12, and Austin Rosenberger and Luke Gordon each had 6. In Westville, Milford 68, Westville 34. Kyle Allen had 22 points and a school record 10 steals as the Bearcats doubled up on the Tigers. Clayton Hunsinger had 10 points for Milford, while Tanner Sobkviak and Luke McCabe each had 8. Bryce Burnett had 15 points for Westville, while Rafe Burke added 13. And finally, in Clinton, Indiana, South Vermilion 63, North Vermilion 31. Landon Naylor had 11 points, but the Falcons were no match for the Wildcats. Owen Norman had 8 points for North Vermilion, while Carter Edney added 6. And now for some events in the local area, we'll stop by the community brief section. In Danville, library lists programs. Furry friends love to read. Read with therapy dogs 11 a.m. to noon and 2 to 3 p.m. on Saturday at the Danville Public Library's Children's Room for children of all ages. Also at 1 p.m. Saturday, the Money Smart Week Essay Contest Writing Workshop continues. Learn how to write an outline in the Children's Program Room for children in grades 5 to 12. Also in Danville, Church Serves Meal. Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 1930 North Bowman Avenue plans its 24th annual A Taste of Deutschland German Dinner for 4 to 6:30 p.m. on Saturday in the church's gym. The meal includes brats on the grill plus sides. Cost will be $10 for adults and $5 for children under 12. Carryouts will be available. Live German music will entertain visitors. For information, call 442-5675. And Forum Set. Vermilion County Republican Women's Club will sponsor a forum for the four Republican candidates running for the party's nomination for Illinois' District 15 congressional seat. Incumbent Congressman John Shimkus is not running for re-election. The public forum will be from 6 to 8 p.m. on February 19th in Bremer Theater at Danville Area Community College. The four candidates are Darren Duncan, Mary Miller, Carrie Wolf, and Charles Ellington. Written questions can be submitted upon entrance to the event. And now we'll go by the article, Illinois Supreme Court Justice Thomas Announces Retirement, from Rebecca Ansel at the Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. Illinois Supreme Court Justice Robert Thomas, a former place kicker with the Chicago Bears, will retire from his seat on the bench effective February 29th. He plans to join the Chicago-based Power Rogers Law Firm, which successfully represented him in a defamation case against the Kane County Chronicle in 2006. In a news release Monday, Thomas said, "The Lord has truly blessed me with family, his wife, three kids, and soon to be nine grandchildren, a former college and professional football career, and the tremendous honor and privilege of serving as Chief Justice. While I will miss the collegial atmosphere with my colleagues on the court, I am ready to return to the practice of law and help clients achieve justice," he said. First elected to the High Court in November 2000 and voted chief 5 years later, he was instrumental in opening its activities by allowing the online publication of video and audio from oral arguments. Thomas also supervised a mandatory continuing education program for Illinois lawyers and judges and established the court's Commission on Professionalism. Thomas is the first Supreme Court leader from DuPage County. In remarks after ascending to the role, according to a news release, he promised to serve the cause of justice, to walk humbly and never lose sight of the tremendous privilege it is to wear the judicial robe, and to serve the people of the state. Justice Thomas was the chief when I joined the court, and he cultivated a welcoming and professional environment, Chief Justice Ann Burke said in a news release. His great sense of humor made a challenging job more enjoyable for everyone. He wrote numerous influential opinions while on the bench, ones that confirmed Governor George Ryan's commutation of Illinois' death row inmates' sentences was constitutional, that Ryan, due to his federal felony convictions, was not allowed to collect his two state pensions, and that former Chicago Mayor Rob Emanuel was eligible to run for that office. The Supreme Court filled the vacancy that will be left by Thomas's retirement by a vote of the justices. They appointed Appellate Justice Michael Burke, who is not related to Chief Justice Burke, and will serve from March 1st to December 5th, 2020, to that seat. According to the state's constitution, Burke will serve beyond the conclusion of Thomas's term to the next judicial election because there is less than 60 days before the March 17th primary. A swearing-in date has not yet been confirmed, a court spokesman said. Burke was chief of the DuPage County State's Attorney's Office Special Prosecutions Unit in 1991. He was elected to the Circuit Court in 2002 after being appointed to the bench a year earlier. And that's all the time we have for today's reading. This has been Ian Berg with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, February 12, 2020. Thanks for joining.